What do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Welcome to the Mouse and Castle.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
For too long, I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mouse and Castle podcast. Come on in. Join us. We're here to talk all things Disney, the Mouse House, all that stuff. How's it going? It's me, Riley. It's him, Aaron. How's it going, Aaron?
It's going pretty good. I guess what came up on my phone today?
Well, let's see. Come up on your phone. Something Disney related?
You know how, like, everything's doing, like, it shows you memories now.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Facebook shows you that. Now Apple does, like, if on your iPhone.
Okay, all right. And?
So, in the top left corner, picture of me and you in front of the Cars Land sign at California Adventure came up today. It's random, so I didn't put it there.
It's so beautiful.
So, you know, Cars Land, a land you can no longer go to.
Oh, God. No, exactly. No, there's some more gut-wrenching Disneyland news. Let's do it. It's a Mouse and Castle podcast. It means more dire news from the West Coast.
And a little bit of dire news from the East Coast.
A little bit. We'll get to that. But hey, I was at Disney last week. I mean, this day before yesterday.
A couple days ago.
Yeah. Crazy. I was at a point where I had approval to actually travel to Orlando and head down. In fact, me and my wife went, and we had the conversation, the COVID conversation with the military, Aaron. This is nothing to do with Disney, but I have to tell you because you'll love this. There's a high risk activity form. All right. It's official federal government form that is designed for insurance purposes, so that TRICARE, military health care, will cover things such as, motorcycling, skydiving, I don't know, deep sea, underwater knitting, whatever is like outside of the norm of your typical daily duties. These are forms that you're supposed to fill out so that you've been briefed on the mitigation factor. So this is what I fill out to go to Disney World. I filled out an official high-risk activity form to get permission to head to Disney World, and I got it, damn it, and I saved it.
So is this something that they could have denied, like, or is it pretty much a guarantee?
Absolutely. I mean, I wasn't allowed to even apply until after the new year when the policy was updated, and then I was, and then, of course, the second I did, I'm like, yep, guess where I'm going. I'll fill out your form, I'll sign it, dot it. And so that I got approval to go to Disney, and I was very excited about it.
Now, we live in a world that Disney is a high risk activity.
It is. I mean, it's true. And we had the conversation, and like I laugh because I put it on the form, but it's literally like what you have to go through. And like me and my wife, we're doing it. We're like, yeah, we're going to avoid any indoor dining, any of the indoor stuff. Just do the attractions and the outdoor focus. Our big thing was going to be Epcot and Animal Kingdom. And we did hit four parks in 2 days, which is something you have some experience from last fall. And it's pretty fun. It's actually pretty great. Now that they opened up, park hopping, we were able
yes,
to do it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Park hopping is back, but you got to do something I've never done before,
which is
Festival of the Arts.
That's true.
I've been to the other three main festivals they have at Epcot, but I've never been to the one of
Wait,
the
what
arts.
What am I missing? We got what? Flower and Garden, Wine and Dine.
And then the holiday.
Oh, of course. One. Yeah. Festival of the Holidays. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. So it was my first time at Festival of the Arts. The only one I've been to, I guess I've been to the other three. That's true. I have actually been experienced each of the others. So I guess I've wrapped it up. It's the fifth year that it was happening. We got the pin and everything. But Festival of the Arts, I got to say, top line, probably, I love all the festivals, but it probably wouldn't rank in, it definitely wasn't my favorite. I put it in the middle somewhere.
Food and wine, I feel like they all kind of...
They're all similar. They are, right? Yes.
It's all about the different food stands and stuff, but Food and Wine really focuses in on the food, which is, I think, that's why that one tends to be my favorite.
Yes.
But Flower and Garden comes at a really nice time of year.
Yeah, true.
And they do up the parks really cool for that one too. So those two tend to be my favorites.
Yes, they did. And I think we did Epcot. What was it? It was the second day we did Epcot in the second half, Magic Kingdom in the first half. We actually did a reservation for Magic Kingdom, but right at two, like actually at about one, we started making our way over to Epcot, because we were probably as excited or more excited to just go eat and drink around the world. It's great. Epcot, listen, that's Epcot knows it what it does well, which is why I think literally they have maybe three weekends in the year that aren't festivals, is what I'm thinking.
Now, be honest, did you get lost at all trying to work your way around the construction walls?
Me and everybody else. There was literally the construction walls, when we made it around to the left entering the park, literally sort of go forward and then double back and then cut around. And I kept like turning around a corner thinking that this is the way I was supposed to be going. And then there'd just be a massive wall with Mr.
Yeah, you know, Epcot. Like if you've been to the parks a lot like we have, you kind of know how to get around Epcot. But when they put up those construction walls.
Yeah, you just turn around, corner to your right, there's Mr. Incredible painted on a wall just laughing at you.
At least they have the nice arrows.
Yes.
You know, big labels, arrows pointing in the right direction to go, depending on what attraction you're trying to get to.
That is true. That is true. But we weren't there for the attractions. We were there for the festival. That's I don't think we did a single... Did we do... We did Frozen. Frozen was the one kind of must-do ride. Okay. So that's Savannah's favorite of the park. So
what did you think, like... Well, I don't know. Maybe some more festival talk before we jump into kind of your overall thoughts on like pandemic experience. But
yeah,
I'll give
a quick best of the fest, worst of the fest. All right. So best of the fest. If you would like to, shameless plug, head over to my Instagram at the Riley Guy, RILEY, and you can see a reel. I made a reel, Aaron.
Oh,
it was nothing but the food of the trip. And I shamelessly, without permission, just took footage of all the food, perfectly normal, and my wife eating all of the food. And it's just a super cut of everything that we ate at Disney that trip. So you can find that on my Instagram. But the best of the fest has to be, and this is where I don't, there's no notes, guys. I will get the names wrong. But I have to say, the Germany was the best land. Oh, everything they had was great. Both of their primary dishes, one was like a chicken dish wrapped in bacon, which was delicious, and the other one was a braised short rib. Oh, that was the best food
I saw
item.
Your pictures. I was following your Instagram. I was enjoying following it. I did see some pictures of the food you got. I was like, oh man,
yeah.
I always get Disney jealousy anytime anyone's there.
Yeah, I feel it. It was a great 2 days, and it was actually the first time me and Savannah, I think, actually got like a proper couples trip to Disney. We hadn't done that yet, so that was like we did a 1 day after we got engaged. That was kind of there, but this was like a proper 2 day multi park experience. It was just us. Very chill. It's very easy logistically when it's just two people.
Yeah.
No fast passes being worried about. There was this delicious layered chocolate cake that I can't for the life of me remember what it was. That was at Germany, I believe, and that was amazing. Although the best dessert, okay, so that was the best food item, the braised short rib, easily, that we had. And let me tell you, we had a lot of food, so we had a lot to compare. The best dessert was the deconstructed dish. I loved that booth. I love everything that they were doing. It was a really cool concept. Although Savannah, and I will properly credit her. She was the one who kind of came up with the punchline. But it's essentially the lazy dish, not the deconstructed dish. It's like we didn't have to assemble the thing, but it's this like really cute layered displayed, you know, version of, I don't know, a turkey sandwich and whatever else they had. But they had this strawberry cheesecake, deconstructed strawberry cheesecake that was, I mean, it would have to be in the top two or three Disney dessert items I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
It was incredible. It was just really high quality and very, you know, the thing about cheesecake All right. Sorry, AJ at Disney Food Blog, move aside. Here's the thing. A cheesecake, it's so easy to be sickly rich and sweet, where it's just almost kind of like you're eating a cheesecake textured sugar candy. It's like you're... It's closer to cotton candy than actual cheesecake. So it was very lightly sweetened, and it let the strawberries speak for themselves. So anyway,
that's a strawberry sauce or just
fresh sliced Florida strawberries that were they're in their own sort of sauce of a kind of sugar coating.
Okay.
It was delightful. It was absolutely... So that was best you know, main dish, best dessert. Worst of the fest? I do have a worst of the fest. And the only reason we bought this was to take a picture of it on Instagram, because it's beautiful. But it tasted awful. And that was... And I feel really bad because I can't remember the exact name, but it was the cocktail at the China Pavilion. It's really, really cool purple boba ball vodka-based floral... cocktail, and it was awful. It kind of tasted like we were just drinking straight Tito's with purple food coloring. It was so bad.
Some people would like that.
I mean, you know, if you were far enough in the day, you could. But that's the sort of best and worst of the fest. The food, it was great. It was very consistent with a lot of the other festivals. Crowded, insanely crowded. To the point, it was the toughest park to navigate, where we legit pulled into some less crowded. That's when we it's actually safer to wait in line for Frozen because of the social distance enforcement than to try to navigate the throng of people that were there in the mid-afternoon. It wasn't until we got into 4, 5, 6 o'clock later in the day that it thinned out enough to where we were actually comfortable enough to be navigating the primary walkways, just because it was that crowd. Just for me and Savannah personally, everybody has your own kind of factors you have to decide when you're talking about this kind of stuff. But I guess that kind of gets us to the pandemic Disney experience.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That I was wondering about crowd levels, because I know it seems like they've upped the capacity. Although it used to be kind of more newsworthy when they'd update the capacity. It was like, oh, they're at 10%. Now they're at 25%. Now it's like, I have no idea what the percentage they're allowing people in. But based on pictures I'm seeing of the parks, it looks like they've definitely increased.
So I asked a cast member, shamelessly, actually, because I was asking about like the policies for and the current status of, because you have to check day of if they've hit capacity as to whether or not they'll allow park hopping. And I asked one of the guest services, this is exclusive journalism right here at the Mouse and Castle, if they had hit capacity and what the capacity was. And the number was quite, I think it was 30% when they would cut it off, and they hadn't hit it, so they were somewhere below that. But she was like, "Yep, nope, we haven't hit it yet since we allowed park hopping, and don't expect to. Maybe." And I said, "It is a holiday weekend. I noticed there's bigger crowds," which it was, but they did not hit capacity any of the days that we were there. So
we're gonna get so used to this like lowered capacity at Disney World that, like you were saying, it was so crowded. But it was less than 30%. So imagine what it's going to be when they open it back up to full capacity. We're going to just feel like, oh my gosh, this is too crowded now. They need to just start to limit capacity as a full-time thing.
That was the deal. My broad impression is very consistent with yours. So I won't relitigate a lot of the stuff that you talked about from your trip last fall. But I really was impressed with the level of cast member dedication to safety protocols, and the level of cast member dedication to not letting people take photos without their masks. Saw multiple people getting yelled at. My favorite interaction, though, was about enforcement of safety standards, but it was not from a cast member, and it was our favorite part of the entire trip, I want to say.
Oh yeah.
So there we were in line for the Haunted Mansion, one of Savannah's childhood favorites, and we've had this happen only once. I think one time earlier in the day, we had someone who didn't want to like stay 6 feet behind us in line. It only happened once. It was a little frustrating in the moment, but it was very brief. And by the time we got into the main part of the line ride, they had to, because cast members told them to. It easily resolved. In this point, we noticed Aaron, and this is this. I thought of you because we saw a dad with about a 9-year-old kid and his wife in line, and all three of them just right in the grill of this very middle-aged couple that were very into Disney and were obvious. They weren't there with the grandkids. They were not there with the kids. It was them, and they were having a great time until this dad particularly, but really all three, were just right up on him, like within a foot, like just hunched right up against them in line. And Savannah like elbows me. She's like, "Do you see that ahead?" It's like, he's getting a little ticked off. I bet something's going to... And then literally for the next 5 minutes, we just saw it slowly escalate until there was a confrontation. It wasn't anything crazy, but it was like, "Hey, please... Hey, buddy, let's watch the spacing. Like, you see the giant stickers that we're all walking on that everybody else is, like, standing on dutifully and obediently? Yeah, let's do that." But I laugh because, I mean, it's a serious matter, and what allows a park to operate is the ability for it to enforce these safety standards. I think they've learned a lot about how to safely, effectively operate them, and they do a really good job doing it. But, Savannah was so excited because we go through this every day when we go out grocery shopping. Like, it's not like Walmart's priority is making sure everybody stands on the stickers properly. So you just, it's sort of like a shot in the dark on whether or not you're able to effectively distance because based on how much your fellow man wants to participate in this new social contract, right? So with Disney, you don't have to worry about any of it because it's all enforced. The discomfort is removed from you. You know for a fact that when you get into a primary part of the line, anywhere where there's cast members observing it, they're going to enforce it. And it was fantastic. It just takes a lot of that discomfort away. I loved it. I was very impressed with their safety protocols. A lot of the plexiglass that they'd installed in a lot of the lines and rides and just how dedicated they were. And honestly, the cast member experience, I kind of feared the overflowing trash cans or the lack of ability to find, guest relations when we were looking for someone or park cleanliness or ride attendance or like having nobody there to manage the lines because they would be so much longer because they were all stretched out. But where they'd placed stickers all over the park and had managed these lines, like the line to Haunted Mansion went way over nearly to Pirates of the Caribbean across the land, but that's just because of how spaced out they needed to make it. And they had done it very effectively. And I honestly saw very little to no degradation of Disney experience from a cast member perspective, which is probably the only inconsistency with what I heard you and Scott talk about a little bit. So
yeah,
that's encouraging.
I think they've had time probably to adjust. And I think they did go through a period where they had furloughed so many people.
Yeah.
But I think they've brought some of those people back at this point. So
yeah,
it's, I think it's going to get better, even as the months go on. I think it's going to get even better. And we'll see. We'll see what happens with the 50th anniversary stuff. Mm. Like, they're really kind of keeping quiet about, celebrations around that. And I know they had some big plans and they haven't really been talking much about it. So we'll see if they're able to adjust or, just if the pandemic kind of takes a turn for the better with the vaccines and stuff out there.
Yeah,
if they'll be able to still get in some of that 50th anniversary stuff before the end of the year.
Yeah, well, at least you'll be able to go to the park at the 50th anniversary, which may or may not be able to be said for Disneyland. And I opened the show with it, but they have officially canceled the annual pass program.
Yeah, that was kind of shocking to me because just seems like such a big deal for that park in particular, for those parks out west. They get a lot of locals that, buy up the annual passes, and they're just, it's part of their routine. Going to the Disney parks is just part of their lifestyle out there. And I know some people, that have had annual passes for a while. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of sad to see that go, and you kind of wonder what's going to replace it. Cause you'd have to think there's no way, there's too much money up in that. They were saying, I forget, there was some estimate numbers. Like there was a million, more than a million annual passes out there.
I if not more than that, you're right. I did hear the number, but it's escaping me at the moment. It was many, many times what Disney World is
Yeah. So it's like just the fact that that's just a major source of income for them.
Yeah.
There's going to be another version of it, I'm sure. But right now, people just weren't getting their money's worth. So it did kind of make sense for them to make a change. I'm a little surprised they didn't have something in place to announce, you know, as like, hey, we're taking away the annual pass, but in 6 months, we're going to release this new thing. It's going to be kind of the replacement for it. Different levels that you can buy in at. Maybe you do one that's annual. Maybe you do one that's, you know, got a limited number of visits to the park. But yeah, it is kind of surprising that they took something away without having something else ready to hand back.
Well, I mean, this is a name, if you've been listening to the podcast, you should be familiar with. Ken Potrock, who is the president of Disneyland Resort, was telling reporters about canceling the program. But he did say, sort of like a silver lining, that there will be new membership offerings. But as far as like this year, it's over. And I think I've read... what is the Disney DSY newscast? It took me a second. I know it's somebody you're familiar with, Aaron. I heard a really great breakdown on this news story, and he brought up a fact I hadn't thought about, but it kind of makes sense from the perspective of trying to be more prepared to meet whatever California's reopening guidelines will be, because the annual pass holders, there's no reservation system tied to that system. So it would just be a flood of people returning to the parks, much more difficult to control the numbers. Whereas right now, the current system in Orlando, we have the park reservation system and not nearly as many annual pass holders to be worried about. So it makes sense to me that is maybe an incentive to kind of guarantee that they'll be able to hit whatever, I think it's like 25%, whatever reopening guidelines, whenever they hit that level for a slow reopening down the road. So I can see that being a part of the negotiations with the state of California that Ken's not been, I remember the last we heard from him, he was some pretty salty quotes about working with the government, multiple layers of the government in California. So it's been an interesting saga so far.
I've never been an annual pass holder on either side of the country.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't live close enough to the Florida parks or the California parks to really have it make sense. I've thought about it for Florida. I've definitely had years that I've gone to the parks enough that it may have made sense for me to have an annual pass that given year.
Yeah.
But typically I do the math, and I usually hit, because a lot of the tickets I end up buying are for special events and that aren't included in the annual passes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then just going to the parks. And I'm not one to park hop a lot, so it just never really made sense for me to do it. But I have always wished that there was a tiered version of it, you know, instead of like, maybe I don't want to go, you know, maybe I don't want to have, you know, access to the parks every day of the year, but maybe, you know, it'd be cool if you could buy like a seasonal one or something where you can go in a certain season or a certain number of visits. So I wonder, maybe that's something that's coming.
Florida's, and they don't advertise them a lot, but some of the annual pass offerings for local Florida residents are pretty intriguing to me, that I think they could offer something like that. So, for example, Epcot, they have a special Epcot after 4 p.m. Pass, annual pass. It's literally just a pass for Epcot after 4 p.m. when the main crowds of the day are disappearing anyway. And it's just like, if you're a Florida resident and you want to go have dinner at Epcot a bunch, there's your annual pass to go. And they actually updated it for Florida residents. It's now 2 p.m. because they shortened the hours. But it's not like something you hear a lot about. It's not heavily advertised. But I think some offerings like that for California locals would be great.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, I also, I briefly touched on this. Speaking of Disneyland, we actually got an update. And I guess, in some ways, this is some positive news for Disneyland, because we haven't really heard anything about the Avengers campus since it was shuttered, or not shuttered, but you know, they obviously did not open last summer as planned. But the Disney Parks YouTube channel released their official first look at Tom Holland as Peter Parker in the Web Slinger attraction. And I just saw that kind of cross my desk. Let me take a quick listen here. You guys can hear it.
What Disney Imagineers have created is pretty spectacular. I mean, when I first joined playing Spider-Man, I went to Avengers headquarters and it was just a bunch of green screens. So the fact that there's actually going to be a legit place where people can go and visit is pretty awesome. So I'm just super excited to share this with the fans, but also experience it for myself. Peter Parker has started an initiative called WEB, which is the Worldwide Engineering Brigade, and he is giving a presentation on this new piece of tech that they've invented, which is the Web Slinger vehicle, and he's going to be giving people a tour, and something goes wrong, and he needs everybody to help him out to save the day. For me, personally, that's the most I've ever felt like Spider-Man, so everyone is going to get to share that experience, which is so awesome. So I'm just really excited for it to open, and I want to go and ride it again with all the fans.
Hey! There it is.
Well, if anyone gets to have a preview ride of this attraction, it should be Tom Holland, right?
Yeah, that's true. I would hope. Yep, Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure. Young engineers will specialize in developing innovative technologies to equip and empower a new generation of superheroes.
This is the one that has the little spider robots.
Yeah, watch out for the spider bots. Yeah. They're stuck in a replication loop, which creates more spider bots, and you wear 3D glasses. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah, we know a lot of this ride. They haven't been keeping under wraps by any means. You know, this is something we know pretty much what the ride's going to be. It's cool to see there's progress being made, and it looks like it's pretty much ready to go if they already have, you know, Tom Holland riding it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a really exciting area of the parks that I'm excited to visit eventually.
You know, I will tie these two news stories together. I count, even though the sadness of the annual pass disappearing, but the fact that they've made that decisive step, and they also like decided to update the official parks blog with like marketing for a new attraction. I think that they have a timeline in mind. Call me.
Yeah, I bet we'll see people at Disneyland this year.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, it's only January, so we got quite a while.
Optimistic.
I think they're targeting for sure some visitors.
Yeah.
In the next, 6 months, maybe by summer.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, the next story, and I think this will bring us home, Aaron, is pour one out for the Magical Express bus service, as it will no longer be in service. Did you ever ride it, Aaron?
I did a couple times. I am an outlier, I think, because most of the Disney fans I talk to, like the Disney purists, the Disney, the DVC members, the people that go to Disney all the time, they like to have the full Disney experience, including Disney transportation.
Okay.
I just don't like Disney transportation. I don't like taking the buses.
I know you. I've been to many a Disney trip with you where we get to the airport and we choose your preferred Disney transportation, which is a rental car.
I like to have control of where I'm going, how fast I can get there. And I like to maximize my Disney time. And Disney transportation does not allow you to do that. You know, if you're going
Hot take.
If you're going for a 10-day trip and you have all the time in the world and you can just chill and get on the Magical Express and wait for it to drop everybody else off at their resorts before it drops you off at your resort and you have like two extra hours, like sure. But I don't have that kind of time. I'm usually going straight to a park right from the airport, drop my bags at the hotel, I hit a park same day, and in a rental car cuts off so much time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to miss it. I know a lot of people will, but that perk being taken away is something that doesn't really impact me.
That's fair. I have to say, I never had the opportunity to ride it, but I won't miss it. I'm with you on the rental car thing. I don't mind. I like the gondola is probably the biggest game changer. I enjoy it because of the amount of time that you can get from Epcot to Hollywood Studios. Like I like that transportation option, but I do.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this, but even as we arrived at Magic Kingdom, I'm reminded because Magic Kingdom is actually the park I've been to the least, ironically. But the whole parking and then getting to the transportation center and then having to take either the monorail or the ferry all the way across the water, like it's a good, after you park, it will be 25 minutes before you enter Magic Kingdom. It's definitely not as seamless as just parking outside of Hollywood Studios and waltzing in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you don't have an option when it comes to Magic Kingdom. You have to go through that process.
No.
But that's my least favorite thing about Magic Kingdom is the having to jump on the monorail or the ferry. Although the ferry's kind of cool. But yeah. Once you've done it a number of times, it's like, okay, I just want to get to the park.
You're like, look, you can see it's Cinderella's castle. 20 minutes later, it's still Cinderella's castle. It's yeah. No, I, you know what? My favorite memory of that ferry, though, is going to the Mickey's Very Merry Holiday Party, Very Merry Christmas Party. And as we were on the ferry, there is like an entire, I feel like it was probably a church youth group. It had a church youth group kind of vibe, and they all broke out into like Christmas songs the entire way across, and it slowly sort of infectiously spread. And at one point, pretty much most of the ferry was singing, "You better not," you know. So
that shows the difference between you and me, because that was your favorite thing, and that would have been my least favorite thing about that day. Like, why are these people singing?
But, I see, like, how can second deck on the very far side, out of earshot. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap up another episode of the Mouse and Castle podcast. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate you guys hanging with us. You know, I'm pretty optimistic. It's a new year. Cool things are happening. Went to the Disney parks. Got more trips in the hopper. I know we've got my wedding reception, or as we've internally dubbed it, our hashtag fake wedding. Nice. We already got married, but where we spent all the money for the wedding, but now it's just a party. But it's still back in Florida, and we're doing, you better believe, we're doing a little Disney trip with it. And Aaron, I understand you just booked your next travel.
Yeah, I'll be at your wedding reception, so I'll hit Disney there. But I also am planning, you know, pending changes to pandemic, etc. But I'm planning to do a spring break trip with my kids and wife to Disney as well. So we have a couple trips in the hopper.
I like
for
it.
Sure.
Yeah. No, and already it's having trips in the hopper is a pretty exciting thing.
It doesn't feel right if I don't have at least one. Like when I get on that Disney experience, you know, get on the Disney website and go to My Disney Experience and start picking dates and making reservations. It just feels right. Everything feels right in the world when I'm doing that.
It is. It's, you know, I on a slightly serious note, there is really something to being able to have that on the horizon to look forward to. Something related. Like, it represents Disney, and I think for you guys listening, Disney represents not just like a theme park you like or that's part of nice childhood memories, but looking forward, it's an opportunity to actually fellowship with friends. That's like, for me, that's the best part about Disney. So the fact that we have some of those in the future makes me more excited for our plans, more excited for the podcast here. I mean, come on, guys.
You get to go see that pink and blue Disney castle.
It's great. We didn't even talk about this.
I saw your post. Fantastic. You're like, it looks fantastic or something. I'm like, what?
I am a shill. I will be a Disney shill when it comes to that paint job. It looks amazing, colorful, bright. Aaron's just shaking his head.
I like it. It's fine.
It's fine.
I prefer the other colors.
Fine. And that's a show. Just like them apples. Woohoo!